Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Jennifer Hill is a musician, performer, vocal coach, the force behind Swan Day, Connecticut, and the force behind the acclaimed band Murderous Chanteuse. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to jump right in. We hope you enjoy our chat with Jennifer Hill here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Jennifer Hill, thank you for coming in to WAPJ Torrington Community Radio to talk to us today on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Fan of your work. Swan Day is always just this huge phenomenon for the state of Connecticut. It's just a huge event for women artists. In fact, Swan Day is supporting women artists now. And that certainly applies every year. That's just a phenomenal thing.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And it's because it's such a phenomenal thing that I want to talk about it. But I want to start out first behind talking about some things that perhaps some people may not know about you and what you do, especially things like vocal coaching. I think mm-hmm. that's fantastic. I think the idea that people... have the opportunity to take vocal coaching from somebody who is such a professional is such an extraordinary opportunity.
Well, it's one of those things where I love voices, all sorts of voices. To me, if someone's voice has something different about it, I want to figure out why there's something different about it. Or if maybe somebody isn't necessarily grasping onto something that I'm teaching them, sometimes things actually have to do with hearing. Sometimes things have to do with different things because it's always to do with your body. When I'm teaching piano lessons, I can change your fingers. I can change your position. But I don't have a lot to do with how you're actually playing the piano. You have to read the notes. You have to make sure you know your timing and all that other stuff. So, yes, I'm the person that has to watch that. But when it comes to a voice, I can actually hear the change like immediately as soon as I do something or manipulate something. And I think for me, that's why I've become really, really into that and very serious about my vocal coaching work.
That's exciting. You get to see a change in a performer's vocalization in just a short period of time, just with some working, some techniques, and then of course with practice. With anything, there's always practice, but you get to see those tangible results. You know, if not instantaneously, in very short order.
Yes.
Is that exciting? That exciting
it is.
As a teacher?
Well, it's exciting and it's cool because the other day one of my students came in and she has just been in France for the past summer working on a sitcom, which we all can watch her soon on Netflix.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In about 6 months, I think it'll be ready for Netflix. But she came in and she said, I want you to listen to what I sounded like when I first came to you. And I was like, okay, because when she first came to me, I was impressed. She already was doing some, she had an agent and doing things like off-Broadway, on-Broadway, different things like that. So when she came in, I already was like, this child has a good voice.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But to listen to the difference, oh my goodness. She was like, I didn't have that soul. I couldn't do this particular thing. I was only into musical theater. Listen to my voice now. And I was just like, wow, this is really awesome. And yesterday we spent her whole lesson scatting, like she was learning jazz scatting. So
that's incredible. That's just for my own edification. Does she sing in French as well? I mean, if she went to France, I'm just curious, did she sing in French as well? Or
She does when she's working on art songs, because I always still have the common thread of the classics are there for a reason. So they do have to learn the classics with me, which
sure.
means French, Italian, Latin that they have to sing in. But no, she actually got lucky because I was wondering the same thing. I said, are you going to go be on a sitcom and speak French? Because if you are, we will be talking back and forth about diction the whole time you're gone. And she was like, no, I got lucky. It's actually in English. So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So she went to France and filmed one that was in English.
That's so great. That's exciting. So this is a singer and a performer who loved musical theater, loved Broadway, so she had that kind of style of voice. But that's not the only voice or style of voice that you work with, correct?
Yes, and everyone has different styles of voices within them. It just depends on what they choose to do. So, she came to me with musical theater mostly, but since she's been with me, she sings opera, she sings musical theater, rock, jazz, pop. She writes her own music. She writes her own music and plays the piano together. I just started working on ukulele with her because I started adding that in with all of my singers. It's ukulele because it's very portable. So, yeah, all those things opened up for her. Well, because she also was a willing participant, you know, she wanted to learn different
I can
things.
only assume that a huge part of success is the willingness to try and to try new things. As a teacher, you can probably, as they say, you can you can instruct, you can inform, but it's the student that's doing the lion's share of the work when they make that change,
Yes.
but they need that instruction, that particular guidance. Do you work with people who have the operatic skills already, or do you work
Yes.
with people who have the pop sound already?
Yes, I work with people with all, so every genre of music. I mean, I've actually helped metal singers scream without killing their voice. I had to actually have a little bit of a chat with some of the girls that were screaming at the haunted hayride because one of them was my own child, who is also a singer.
Yes.
And from my post, I could hear her screaming in a guttural scream that I knew was going to turn into something bad. So I put her on vocal rest for an entire week after that because the next
Protect
morning,
the voice.
yeah, she wasn't doing it right. And they were kind of laughing at me, but I was like, I'm not kidding. Make sure you guys breathe from your diaphragm before you scream because just the scream is going to do something to your vocal cords. It's not something we always do.
And not to bury the lead at all, but that's we're talking about Scarlett. She is a fantastic musician and singer and performer in her own right. I had the opportunity to see her perform live for one of her for her first live performance that happened to occur in Torrington at Performance Hub.
Yeah.
That was such a wonderful experience. I know that she's performed live at other venues at the Riverton. Recent Riverton
At the Still River
Festival, the
Music
Still
Festival.
River Music Festival, and lots of other places. So that's an exciting thing. That's a separate show though, and I think I'll save that for a separate show. I want to get back to the vocal training, I guess, because I think it's just a wonderful opportunity that I wouldn't necessarily have thought of until I learned about it, that you do that vocal training, because I know that you're the accomplished performer yourself. Murderous Chanteuse performing, you have a very special pop sound, is a very radio friendly sound. The music that you perform is the type of music that I could hear any of the modern musicians of today performing your songs. So the only thing different is that that's their particular name, and
Yes.
but the song itself stands, and so I think it's pretty cool that you actually do vocal training. Before we get any further, how did people find you to become that vocal training? Was it something where they went to one of your shows and said, "I want to do what you do"?
Well,
Or was it just something that built over time?
some of it has built over time. Some of it is reputation. Of course, I started off with my business and, you know, looking for people that want to be taught. I actually, my student that just came back from France told me the story yesterday. She says to me, I was telling her that I had a couple new students and it's probably word of mouth and that, you know, I would like to do more students that are very, professionally motivated like herself, you know, add a couple of them together and maybe do some shows with them. And I said to her, "How did you find me?" And she goes, "Well, my agent in New York City looked up one of the best vocal coach in Connecticut." She goes, "And your name came up." And I said, "Really? How did that happen?" She's like, I don't know. She Googled it. She looked for stars and looked for like who was really doing what they needed to do. And she said, you need to go to Jennifer Hill. That's who you're going to. Now, the other slight connection was that I went to school with Javier. Javier had won The Voice, the first thing of The
Absolutely.
Voice.
I remember that season very,
Yes.
very well. We were rooting for him, obviously, because
Yes.
local
We went to Harvard School of Music together, musical theater. He went to school for musical theater. So apparently he also was playing golf with my student's father. So he also recommended me.
Wow.
So she got the recommendations from two different
Two
people
different
that were
sources, and they
pretty
were.
with a lot of clout, and they were like, okay, we'll go to her.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, before we're going to go to a first break, but before we do, how would somebody get a hold of you now for vocal coaching? Would they find it via Facebook?
Yes, Facebook, I have Jennifer Hill Vocal Coaching and Piano Instruction. That's the name of my page. And you can just go right on there and you can write to me from the message area. And then I respond usually within like a couple minutes.
Okay. Well, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about other aspects of Jennifer Hill, of Murderous Chanteuse, and of Swan Day, of course, and talk a little bit more about the vocal coaching. So we're going to be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Sweet.
Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here in studio. Very special episode with Jennifer Hill. As I mentioned in the earlier segment, Jennifer Hill is a vocal coach, and she has taught students of all different varieties of different genres, if you will. Your vocals are so incredible in Murderous Chanteuse. I'd love to share some of that now as we talk about vocal coaching. Let's hear a little bit of your voice from Murderous Chanteuse. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
But the crazy in me is beautiful with you. It's beautiful.
And that was Murderous Chanteuse, Jennifer Hill, some vocals. And that brings us back to the conversation of vocals and vocal coaching. And it sounds to me that what you do is with those students, you work with them to have proficiency in other genres besides the one that they're chosen as as the one that they want to do. So if somebody was a country singer, if you will, they'd still have to do some other genre,
Yes.
Broadway, just so that way they've worked the vocal cords in that way.
Yeah, because I think it's important. I mean, especially it depends on what you're doing in your career as a musician. But as a singer, if you're not doing something all the time established with a band or something, I sing commercial jingles. So what if you get a call for a commercial jingle? I did Simonize Car Wax back in the day. That one sounded like it was a 1950s sort of bebop song. Now, if I didn't know how to sing that sort of style, I couldn't have taken that job. All commercials have different sounds to them because it depends on who they're trying to attract the audience to. So I've also been in situations when I lived in New York City where they used to do different commercials. They would have a McDonald's commercial that was one way that was geared towards like people in Connecticut. They would have one that was another way that was geared towards people in New York. The New York one would have a more urban sound in the background. The Connecticut one was more country sounding. So, as a vocalist, I think it's really important that you can do everything. I also, in college, watched my own teacher, who was a coloratura, that's the highest singer for The Voice, and she was an amazing opera singer. But every single time we had to do something for jazz, She would make me get up and teach the class because she couldn't swing. And I thought it was really strange that a per she has her doctorate in music, couldn't swing, but no one asked her to swing. She just sang opera her whole life.
Interesting. Okay.
So to me, I thought that might limit me. So I in my own pursuit, I've sung with Dave Brubeck. I've sung with the Count Basie Orchestra. I've sung with different things that I would have never gotten to do. I've also sung with Andy Williams, just singing straight up background for pop things.
Wow.
So I was like 12 when that happened. And my grandmother was the only person who even knew who Andy Williams was. She was like, "Oh my goodness." I was like, "Grandma, he kept hugging me backstage." And she's like, "Oh, but you know, she was so excited and I didn't even know who Andy Williams was." But that was the first time I like got that whole taste of like I need to know how to do everything. Because when they got that call and they needed some singers, my teacher said, "Jen's voice is way older than a 12-year-old." Sent me out there in a sequin dress, and I remember it was in the Hartford Courant. Because I sang at the Hartford Civic Center with him. And it said like these dazzling women in red sequin dresses. And I laughed, saying to my mom, "I'm 12." And they wrote in there that I was a dazzling woman in the background. You know, but I learned from an early age, you need to be able to do everything because you never know what might come your way.
Now that was doing some commercials. You mentioned that happened to be in New York. Now in terms of Murderous Chanteuse, I've heard you perform live as Murderous Chanteuse, as well as prior to that you had performed in Torrington at a couple of different opportunities. I know that you performed at the Desultory Theater Club, and also in the one that I had seen you at. Ebony Amber had a fashion show that was at Co Park, and so you were the headliner there. So that was a fantastic show. It was a fantastic show all around. I had never been to that type of experience before, so it was all new to me. But I really enjoyed it, and your music was incredible there as
Thank
well.
you.
And that's the type of opportunity that's unique and uniquely suited for your work.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the cool thing is Ebony Amber is a swan and she's been in Swan for so long. And like every girl that seems to be in Swan that like puts something together on their own, it usually is an experience. Like, because all of us are similar, I think, in the way that we think. So when Ebony was putting together her show, she really wanted, you know, a nice runway show and like professional and different than everything that we see all the time because we see a lot and sometimes things are put together well, sometimes they need a little bit of help. But if you've been around watching that for so long in your life, I think you really want to up the ante. And like I was so proud of her when I walked in and saw the outfits and I saw the way everybody was like their makeup was
It
done.
was incredible. It was an
Yeah,
experience to be
it
in the
was an
audience to say,
experience.
yeah, absolutely. And it was fantastic for you to be a part of that, as I said, for the headlining, the music portion of it. So that that was fantastic. And those type of opportunities of these unique venues are sort of few and far between, because it's not like they have fashion shows every, every week, or every week in Torrington, or anything like that. I hope that there are some more type of venues like that in the future. But you yourself are the creator, or at least the driving force, I should say, not the creator, but the driving force in Connecticut for one of the biggest forms for that, and that's the Swan Day that you just mentioned.
Yes, Swan.
That's an opportunity for women artists to showcase their talent. Have one particular venue where women, talented women, come together and are able to perform on different stages. This past year, there were two different stages, and how many performers were there?
So pretty much what we've been doing since the beginning is we do two stages, and one stage is more acoustic, and the other is like the, I don't like to use the term main stage because it's not that anybody's more important than anyone else,
Right.
but people that are playing as a duo are more likely to be in the acoustic stage than they are going to be on the big stage, because the big stage, we need to have the most number of people up on there.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So we always time it too, so that you can see every single act, because you can run back and forth. They're not at the same time. But the other thing is, it's a really big networking event for women that are either trying to get into an artistic scene in Connecticut, or who are trying to, you know, meet other people, maybe to help with projects, maybe to collaborate with each other. And the night, the whole beginning, why I started the night the way that I did, is because I never could support my friends. I'm playing a show on Friday. She's doing a fashion show on Friday. She's doing a burlesque act on Friday. She's painting Friday. Like, we never could do things at the same time, because especially the different artistic things, music, art, fashion, plays, things like that, are all doing things at different times, but at the same time.
Right.
So how can I support you? I wish I could, but I have to work and I have to do my show. So this night, it's kind of like we all shut down. And I just can imagine how many places people have to say no to, because we have so many girls involved. But you know, all five burlesque girls aren't playing anywhere else that night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that everybody's decided to come and dedicate to that night.
That one night as a festival, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
People can see all the different shows and in come at and, you know, come and go and be able to experience as much of that the opportunity as they can, which is fantastic. We're already at our second break. We're going to go to our second break listening to a little bit of Murderous Chanteuse music. So I'd like to do that as we go to a break. We'll be back in just a few moments here. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Jennifer Hill. We were just talking about Swan Day. Swan Day is an incredible event of celebrating and supporting women artists now. I think keeping that word now is very important, because it's something that puts that sense of urgency. It's saying, you know, let's not put that off. Let's celebrate and support women artists now. And that particular now happens to be that festival day of Swan Day. Do we know what the date, or
yes.
Do we know the month at least, or do you know the specific date for
yes,
Swan Day?
Yes, the date this year is April 14th.
That'll be for 2018.
Yep.
And it's, we'll say it again, please.
It's April 14th at Trinity on Main in New Britain.
Trinity on Main is a wonderful venue. That's where you had it last year as well. It's a beautiful church that is now a performance venue. So they host a lot of different concerts, plays, musical plays, and everything. And it's a wonderful venue for that festival. So you do have two different stages at
mm-hmm.
the particular area. It'll be April 14th, 2018. That's fantastic. So, and you know what? It must take an awful lot of time, effort, and energy to kind of do all of the back stage setting up and preparing to get to this one event,
yes.
correct?
It takes me 8 months. It takes 8 months each year.
Wow.
So it's a lot of time from finding the acts. Right now, actually, I'm still going through submissions. So if anybody that's in a female-fronted band wants to submit, they can send their submissions to ladyblueproductions@gmail.com. And the reason why we listened to the submissions for a while is we want an eclectic mix of music.
Sure.
So we might hear five or six singer-songwriters that have similar sort of sound to them, and we're going to pick one of them because we want the people that come to the show to say, oh, okay, this is a jazz singer. We've got a rock band. We've got a punk band. We've got an indie rock. We've got, you know, a ballad sort of bluesy band. Like, we want everything. So no matter what your genre is, if you are a female-fronted band, just send in your stuff because we're still listening to everything right now. And we're doing the same with our artists because we also don't want you to walk into an artisan's market and see seven of the same things. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure, okay, this is the person we've chosen for this. So now we're not going to choose anyone else for this because we want whoever's there to get the most attention for that particular thing.
That makes sense. And you give the opportunity for, you know, people in all different ranges of their careers, from very well-established and performers who have been on the David Letterman show.
Yes.
and people who are starting in their careers and everywhere in between. So you give a lot of opportunities for women of all in all their stages of their career.
Yeah. I like the fact that some people can say their first show was Swan, you know, and I like to find those new voices.
So you like to have women be able to say that their first concert was, or their first event was Swan.
Yes. So, you know, because I've watched some careers, like I've watched certain things happen. And I've had bands write to me and say, you know, I really was having a hard time getting booked until I played Swan. Now I played Swan and people are writing to me and saying, I saw you at Swan. And that makes me feel really good because I know that the things that I'm doing are working because I really, that's what I'm trying to do is show that we have all of these talented females that maybe you've never heard of because they just are not out there playing constantly. Because we all know there's only so many gigs to go around. Now maybe this is going to be your next favorite band.
Absolutely. And, you know, in terms of music, I also want to share some of your music as well. We've talked about different aspects of your career, and we've barely touched Murderous Chanteuse, so I'm actually going to ask you to come back at a different point in time, especially before Swan Day, and maybe we'll just talk specifically about your career as well as in terms of the musicianship, if that's okay with
that
you.
That sounds good to
I
me.
Invite you to come back for that. I'd like to close on some Murderous Chanteuse music. Before we do, for people who are interested in Swan Day, where do they go?
They can go to the Facebook page, which is Swan Day CT. If they just want to go right to the source, they can write to me at ladyblueproductions@gmail.com. And that's where we're accepting your MP3s, the videos of your band, the JPEGs of your work, because we have to look at your artwork. We have to see what everything is. That's where you can send all of that to. But if you want to ask me anything or just read up about Swan and see what it's all about, go to Swan Day CT on Facebook.
And for vocal coaching, they can go to a different Facebook page. That Facebook page is?
Jennifer Hill Vocal Coach and Piano Instruction.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer Hill, for coming in today to Torrington's, to WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to have you come on back. Now Make Chatter is a production of WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by Jennifer Hill and Murderous Chanteuse. Some of the music has also been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for more music on WAPJ Torrington Community Radio.